Mr. Mason, Realm 9. Now, we move now into early 1945, still based at Stormont with 58 Squadron. What happened next?
Well, we just carried on. I see, in fact, we did get a wind-finding attachment in March, but we obviously only had one because I went up with somebody, you know, trying it out. But I can't remember us actually using it. I don't think we got it fitted. We probably just fitted it on the odd aircraft and didn't get much opportunity to use it. I see I flew with somebody else in March and dropped some bombs on a 2,000 ton tanker, which didn't hit it but probably damaged it. Somewhere around here, I see that in fact in April I did very little operational flying. I know that Wing Commander Grant got a rocket because he'd been doing too much. Because as the Wing Commander, he's only supposed to fly occasionally. But at the end of March, in fact, we got a new CO. I've got Wing Commander Ingle.
Ingle.
I-N-G-L-E. He was...
So Grant left.
Sorry?
Grant left.
Yes. I see that he came to us on the 29th of March. So Grant must have left at the end of March. Ingle, I knew. He was a navigation... As a pilot, he was a pre-war. He had done the senior navigation course. So he was quite keen. But as a result of him coming... I didn't do any operational flying until the end of the month.
What was Ingle like? Do you remember?
He was a little man, a little Napoleonic character, and he wasn't liked very much because the people had liked Grant, you know, and... apart from myself, I don't think anybody else really knew him. And he was very keen to please, but it was now so late in the war that he wasn't going to do a great deal anyway.
Were you aware the end of the war was coming?
Oh, yes, by then. The reason I know is that... I flew on the 21st of April and the 23rd of April. In both cases, I flew as in my role as staff navigator. And I flew with two crews, and I flew with them for the reason that they were both on their first operational flight. And so I was giving them a Cook's tour of the area. The reason being that we were a bit concerned that these chaps were a bit keen, and this was their last chance to win the Victoria Cross. Those two, I flew with two crews who were on their first flight, although, you know, they... the crew, the pilots, the captains had been on ops before, but the crew were, it was a new crew. And then on the 6th of May, I flew on the last squadron operation.
And what was that?
Which was around Arlesund and Maloy, which are up the coast of Norway. There was nothing about, and the weather was dreadful.
And that the 6th of May, that was the last one.
And that was with Wing Commander Ingall. That was his one sort of operational flight after he took over.
And what do you remember of V-Day? Any celebrations or anything of note? That's the 8th.
Well, that, as far as we were concerned, was VE Day, wasn't it? What was the official date? Was the 8th, wasn't it? Well, as I remember, if that was the last, that was the 6th of May. We must have been told that, you know, that was it. Because I next flew on the 10th of May and flew around the Kattegat taking photographs of ships and wrecks and so on. And it was still an operational flight because we still carried bombs. Because if you remember, I don't know if actually you don't, the fear was that the Nazi kings would get in a U-boat and hop off to South America. And so we continued to carry bombs on reconnaissance around the Kattegat in case we came across somebody who had decided they weren't surrendering.
So what happened next then?
And I see I did that on the 10th, and I did another on the 12th. And these were sort of cleaning up operations, as it were, to make sure that there was nobody showing any belligerent intent. Then on the 15th, we flew over to Aalborg and had 3 days over there to pick up a crew. On the last night or two, crews were told if they were in trouble to land in Denmark. And of course, there's always one crew landed in Denmark, so we had to go and fix their aircraft up and get them back. And that brought it to an end. I went on leave at the end of May or what have you, and when I got back on the 6th of June, the squadron had been disbanded. There were no aircraft on the aerodrome. I went into the navigation office and there was a note on my desk: return all the navigational equipment to stores. You are posted to Canada. And so that was it.
So where did you have to go to? Just briefly, just to, you know.
Oh, I went over on the Aquitania to Halifax, and I was posted to Winnipeg, which was the sort of air command. But as soon as I got there, I was sent out to an EFTS at Yorkton in
EFTS being
Elementary Flying Training School at Yorkton in Saskatchewan as navigation instructor. And I was there, well, what was left of July and August until VJ Day, and immediately after VJ Day, all instruction was stopped, and all flying And I went back to Winnipeg, where my official sort of posting. And fortunately, the AOC of the RAF in Canada came along, and he said, "Well, there's no flying back to the UK, but if anybody's got any reason for compassionate leave, I'll do my best for them." And I said, "Well, it just so happens that I've got a cable to tell me that my wife gave birth to a daughter on the 29th of August, and I'd like to go home." He said, "Right." And so I found myself sailing back to England on the Louis Pasteur within about 2 days.
September-ish, early September.
Yes, that ended my war. And after I'd had some leave, I had to report to Catterick, where they had a sort of aircrew redeployment camp, and I reported there, and you had to do a sort of aptitude test so that they could decide what you could do until you were demobbed. And the group captain there looked at it, and he said, "Well, you've been in from the beginning to the end." He said, "I think you've done enough." He said, "Go on leave, and I think you'll be demobbed at the beginning of January." So I went on leave for 14 days, went back, collected a new pass and a new set of ration cards, and went back again and did that until...
So you're just on leave,
the end of December, and on the 1st of January I was demobbed.
So what did you, when you were demobbed, what were you to do? I mean, you got your job with ICI, is that where you went back to?
Yes, yeah.
Was there any problem with that, settling back into civilian life?
No, well, there was in a way, in that I'd been in touch with them when the end of the war was appearing, and said, "Is there anything I can do?" And I said, "No, you can sort of revise your chemistry if you like." But, and anyway, I went, I was demobbed at Wembley, and their sales office had been, they'd moved to Mill Hill out of the middle of London. So I went to see them and said, "Well, I've just been freed. What about it?" And they said, "Well, yes." They said, "We think we'd like you to work in our plastics department." And so I, not knowing anything about plastics, said, "Well, you know, I've been away 7 years. Is there any future in it?" Well, they assured me there was. And so I got involved in plastics. But the only trouble was, having been away, when I left them, I was a young lad, single, and I'd come back with a wife and child, and I'd lived in Peterborough, which is quiet, and now that office had been closed when the war started. I'd now got to work in London. And they started everybody back at £300 a year. Well, that was about a third of what I'd been getting from the Air Force. So we had a very hard time for a bit. Until eventually I said, "I can't go on like this, you know, I'm going to resign, because I'd be better off either at my wife's home or my home, where the council would put me right at the top of their housing list." Whereas we were living, we lived in some furnished rooms in Mill Hill, which cost me four guineas a week. Now, if you work that out against £300 a year, it doesn't leave you much. And fortunately, the boss I had said, "Well," he said, "this is ridiculous. He said, go home. This was Friday afternoon. He said, go home, find a house that you can afford to pay the mortgage on, and then come back, and I'll see what can be done. Well, I knew where the cheapest houses were. I found a house which was £1,850, three-bedroom terraced house. Went in on Monday and said, well, I've put my name down for a three-bedroom house, £1,850. And he said, right. He said, the pension fund will give you £1,850 interest-free loan. And that's to make up for the fact that they've neglected, that, you know, you've had to, we should have done this when you came back. And so life changed.
Now, did you find that your war service had affected you in any way, good or bad, would you say? Mentally or physically?
I think good, in that you live with a lot of people, and so you become a better judge of character. You know more about people you meet than of course you've met somebody like them, you know. And I think you're very philosophical. Because you've survived. War's marvellous to look back on if you survive. It's easy. It's an experience if you are able to complete it. It's not to be missed.
Thank you very much.